just listening to the silence. Good morning. It's really good to see you in worship this morning, especially on this first Sunday in Advent. Rosemary.
Good morning, everyone. And welcome to our service of worship this morning, first Sunday in Advent, and especially if you're a newcomer or a visitor. Visitors may wish to sign the visitor's book, and we have Kat with us today, kids at church, which is lovely. And we'll also welcome Norman back after a well-deserved break, although he might be ready for another one already. A gift day. We dedicate this year's gift day offerings today. Donations will continue to be accepted towards gift day during the coming month. Please speak to our treasurer, George, for further information. George's phone number, 269355. Warm Spaces and Sanctuary Cinema. The church is taking part in the Warm Spaces initiative once again. The church is now open on Thursday afternoons between 1 and 5 until the end of March. This week, 5th of December, and every 2 weeks there will be games and other activities. In alternate weeks, the Sanctuary Cinema will operate. The next film, the 12th of December, is The Dressmaker. Films start at 2 p.m. Although there's maybe word that films will be run every week. So, though there is one this Thursday. A Wonderful Life this Thursday, the 5th. Here we go. Updates on the hoof. Carols and Candles. Tully Allen and Kincardine Church are holding their annual Carols and Candles service this evening, 1st December at 7:30 p.m. and all are very welcome. Our Kirk session meets at 7 o'clock on Wednesday, 4th of December. This is a joint social meeting in Cairnhill Church with Limekiln's Kirk session. Our discussion group is currently meeting through Advent using a resource from the Bible Study for the Rest of Us series. We will be meeting this Tuesday, the 3rd, and then the following Wednesdays, the 11th and the 18th at 7:30. Please contact Derek on 882190 for information. At this point, I'll just to let everybody know, there's a poster in the vestibule for Scout Post. Deliveries are 50 pence per card to many five towns and villages, and collection points and dates are all on the sheet. There are further intimations on the printed sheet. This can be viewed on Facebook or downloaded from the website if you do not have a copy. Our duty team today is upstairs on tech, are Caroline and George. Alistair is leading prayers. Kath is reading. Rob is welcome team. And I'm the beadle for today. Thank you.
Right. I need a volunteer.
Me?
Would you like to volunteer? A volunteer is a volunteer. It isn't me saying you have to do this. It's a volunteer. You don't know. Well, it'll be a big surprise then. Is Christmas not about surprises? You see, the thing is, I've already had some terrible jokes with you, haven't I? Mm-hmm. Jokes that are almost as bad as dad jokes. Mm-hmm. So you don't know what's going to happen. What day is this? It's gifty. Well done. You were listening to the intonation. So that puts you up there. Right. What else is today? Something special about this Sunday. It's the beginning of something. And you might be looking forward to something round about the 25th of December.
Gifts.
Gifts. And why do you get gifts?
Because...
It's... Well well done. I was a bit worried that you, there was no Christmas in your house. Had it been cancelled?
No.
I told my grandsons I was going to paint my face green, become the Grinch, and cancel Christmas. What happens if you're a grumpy old man? Do even grumpy old men like Christmas? The reason you're out here is to help me, because I'm probably not allowed to do this because it's not safe for me. Would you like to light a candle? So, you're scared, are you? Right, we'll see if we can get one of these to light properly. Like any of the red one red candle. There you go. Which red one? That might be the easy one to take. Oh. Right, now if we move round here, can you blow that out for me? Well done. Thank you very much. There we go. We've lit a candle. First Sunday in Advent. Who's looking forward to Christmas? Who's being grumpy at Christmas? Right, we're going to sing hymn number 279, Make Way for Christ the King. Let's dedicate our offerings. Almighty God, we ask your blessing on the money that we present before you. We give thanks that we are able to offer for the work of your church, as we do week by week, as we do on this gift day, as we have done through shoeboxes and reverse Advent calendar, and all the other things that we do at this time of year. Bless all that we give for the sake of your kingdom and to your glory, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now, I was shocked this week. Somebody came to the door. Well, that happens quite often. But they said, last year, you said. And I thought, somebody who remembered what I said a year ago. That's pretty impressive. And I think I must have been being a little bit grumpy. Now, I know you'll find that hard to believe, because you're used to my sunny. Some people I'll have to speak to after the service. Some people think I have a sunny disposition. And what they remembered was that I didn't get an Advent calendar last year. And not only that, I was being a bit grumpy about modern Advent calendars, because I said when I was a boy, when I opened my Advent calendar, there was simply a little picture behind. There was no chocolate. And this person said, I saw this and thought of you. So I've got an Advent calendar with little doors. And if I can find the one with a number one on it. And I've got a picture of an angel. And it says, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to Nazareth. So there's a lovely Advent calendar. Now, somebody who possibly knows me better, and I won't mention she's called Eleanor. That's my daughter, for those who don't know. Said, you probably do like chocolate. So she gave me this one. Well, I said down in Limekilns that I had received this from Eleanor, and there was a woman down there who I recognised from my house who said, you mean it's for us, not for you. So I may be grumpy again, you never know. So I've got one with chocolate in it too. But I haven't opened that because I wouldn't dare. We'll need to wait for Karen to open that one, I think. So, first Sunday in Advent, is this the beginning of Advent? It is. Definitely the beginning of Advent. Does Advent always begin on a Sunday?
No.
Oh, yes, it does. We're into pantomime season. Actually, Advent begins on a Sunday. There are always four Sundays in Advent and then Christmas Day. And that's why we have four candles round a single candle for Christmas Day. Of course, it would be very difficult to have a different kind of Advent calendar every year. So these Advent calendars always start on the 1st of December. But Advent can start at the end of November or into the beginning of December. And this year is just a wee bit special because Advent really does begin on the 1st of December this year. So it's just that wee bit different. But whatever it is, it's a countdown. Now, who thinks it's a long time to Christmas? Yeah. The younger you are, the longer time takes to go by. How many people are panicking already? And because I'm a terribly last-minute person, the worst thing I can do is think I've got plenty of time before Christmas, because I always do things at the last minute. But we're counting down, and we're counting down because Christmas is a very important day. What do you look forward to best at Christmas? What's the best thing about Christmas?
Yes. Getting gifts.
Getting presents, yes. Anything else that you look forward to?
Nothing else.
Sorry, what was that one?
Nothing else.
Nothing else.
Nothing else. Just presents.
Having a nice dinner.
Having a nice dinner, yes. Nice. I enjoy my Christmas dinner. In fact, my son really enjoys his Christmas dinner. He sometimes has a three-course Christmas dinner. His first course is turkey and all the turkey and all the trimmings. His second course is turkey and all the trimmings. And his third course is turkey and all the trimmings. And he's shaped like that. It's not fair. Yes, seeing all your friends, that's a good answer too. Do you like parties?
Yeah,
we get Christmas parties, all sorts of things. But the thing to remember is the reason that we have all these good things to enjoy is because of Jesus. And Jesus was born Christmas Day, and it's really his birthday celebration. And I'll keep the joke that we always tell in this church for Christmas Day. And I'll leave that one for those of you who, you'll work it out. There we go. We'll leave that one just hanging in the air. So there we are. Are you looking forward to Christmas?
Yes!
No. Good! That's great. I'm glad to hear it. So, I think we should sing again. We're going to sing, this song is from Mission Praise, number 425, Look to the Skies, There's a Celebration. Alistair is now going to lead us in our prayers of adoration and confession.
So let's now draw near to God in prayer.
Lord, you are holy, the only God, and your deeds are wonderful. You are strong, you are great, you are the Most High, you are Almighty. You, Holy Father, are King of heaven and earth. You are three in one, Lord God, all good, living and true. You are love, you are wisdom, you are humility, you are endurance, you are rest, you are peace, you are joy and gladness, you are justice and moderation. You are all our riches, and you suffice for us. You are beauty, you are gentleness, you are our protector, you are our guardian and defender. You are courage, you are our haven and hope. You are our faith, our great consolation. You are eternal life, great and wonderful Lord, God Almighty, merciful Saviour. Father God, this is the day when the church begins to think about Christmas. And the very word makes us feel excited. And Father, you want us to be excited about Christmas. And you want us to enjoy it. But you also want us to understand it. And these Sundays of Advent teach us, Father, what Christmas means. As we bring you our praise, we also bring you our confessions. Lord, you place before us an open door. There is a door of salvation we walk through, and also a door of service, a door of opportunity. And how often do we miss these opportunities to serve you, individually in our witness to those around us, caring for others in need? As a church, missing opportunities for mission, evangelism, bringing your servants or being your servants in this parish. Help us to serve, to hold on to your word and not deny your name. Almighty and most merciful Father, we have erred and strayed from your ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended your holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done, and we have done those things which we ought not to have done. But Lord, have mercy upon us as we confess our faults in the silence of this moment. Lord, restore us according to your promises through Jesus Christ our Lord. Merciful Father, grant that we may live godly, righteous lives to the glory of your holy name. And hear us now as we join together in saying these words of prayer, as we say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Through Advent, we are going to be using themes from the study booklet. We've talked about Advent, and we're now really moving on to what is study two in the booklet. And Karth is going to read to us what is, in effect, the beginning of the birth narrative as Luke records it, which may seem, in some ways, a little strange. It's not maybe the reading we expect, because it's not primarily about Jesus, but about John the Baptist. It is from Luke's Gospel about Zechariah and Elizabeth. Garth.
So our reading today is Luke chapter 1, verses 5 to 25. The birth of John the Baptist foretold. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah, who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. But they were childless, because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were both very old. Once, when Zechariah's division was on duty, and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshippers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. He will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I'm an old man, and my wife is well on in years." The angel said to him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at the appointed time." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he had stayed so long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them, but remained unable to speak. When his time of service was completed, he returned home. After this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant, and for 5 months remained in seclusion. "The Lord has done this for me," she said. "In these days he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people." And may God add his blessing to the reading of this word. Amen.
We sing now hymn 291, "When Out of Poverty Is Born."
Thank you.
a sense of celebration on the first Sunday in Advent, but in many places in our society, Advent is not the beginning of the preparation for Christmas. We'll have seen Christmas goods in shops up and down the country, probably from about the middle of summer, which doesn't help the grumpy old men at all. And I suspect that many of you here may have been asked the terrible question even before Advent began. Are you ready for Christmas? This question is very much about having your diary in order and clear plans for the what, where, and who in terms of buying, sending, and celebrating. As the season of Advent progresses, most of us will become busier. The busier we become, the harder it is to keep our thoughts on the true meaning of Christmas. In his study booklet, Graham Hill says, "A true translation of biblical hope is the joyful anticipation of good." And as an example, he said, this joyful anticipation is that of the child. Imagine the child looking at the clock on Christmas morning, knowing that, well, certainly in my household when I was growing up, in my household when I was a parent, there were definite times that you did not get up before. And it was almost agonizing for the child, because the child has a joyful anticipation of what's going to be there on Christmas morning. That is biblical hope. We have the season of Advent as a time of anticipation, of planning, not just for family and for all the things that we'll do, good and right though those things are, as Alistair said in his prayer, we are meant to enjoy Christmas. But we're meant to enjoy Christmas because of the reason, not because of the peripheral things about party. In the second chapter of the book, Graham Hill goes on to what is a somewhat strange story. In Luke's gospel, the story will only make sense later on when we find out who John is. If we were reading this for the first time, he begins by saying, I'm going to tell you everything that God was doing about the Saviour to come, and then goes, well, now I'm going to tell you about Zechariah and Elizabeth. And it is a strange wee story to have in there, but a very important story. We might have expected Luke to begin with the visit of the angel to Mary, and then maybe as an aside, to tell us why Mary would be going to visit Elizabeth, and a wee explanation in there. But no, he begins with this story about Zechariah and Elizabeth. When we turn to the Gospels, we find constant reference to the promises of God. If you attend a service of nine lessons and carols at Christmas, that service places the Christmas story in the bigger context of the whole of creation. From Genesis 1 to the end of time. This is not just a point in time, but it has a context within the whole of creation. One of the interesting questions in the study book asks, how many prophecies foretelling Jesus can we find in the Old Testament? Now, I've never actually gone and counted, but I know there are a lot. There are a significant number of texts where people, the prophets of old, said, a Saviour is promised. This will be the Messiah. This will be bigger than anything else you've ever experienced, and nothing like anything else in all of creation. And of course, we know that the Christmas story is not a standalone story. It's not that nativity tableau disconnected with everything else. It connects everything else. Were we to go back to the time immediately before the birth of Jesus and ask those who believe in God about the promises, some of them centuries old, there would have been an affirmation of faith in God's word. Had you said to Zechariah, do you believe that God is going to save his people? Do you believe there will be a Messiah? Do you believe the words of the prophets? Absolutely. Without a doubt. Of course, it's much easier to believe that God will fulfill his promises sometime. More difficult when the promises of God are to be fulfilled now and involve you. And even more difficult when that promise, God says, I want you. Can you imagine the promise, God saying, yes, you know that person you call me? You're the one. The story of Jesus' birth takes place at a time of great uncertainty. Judea was under the control of Rome, but this was very much the eastern border of empire at that time. In geopolitical terms, it was very, very uncertain. The area that we know of as Israel had been invaded and occupied and freed and invaded, and empires had come and gone. And of course, at that moment in time, those folk had no idea whether the Roman Empire had expanded to its maximum and would just collapse in on itself, as many of the previous empires had. It was also a moment in history when Judea is going through that political transition between a level of autonomy under Rome to direct Roman rule. It is a very uncertain time. For those living at that time, they had no idea what Rome might become and how far east it would spread. They had no idea whether another power was going to come in. They had no idea what was happening. All they knew was that a foreign power was in charge of their place, and their future was uncertain. This was exactly the world that they expected the Messiah to come into to save God's people. But this is the world in which Zechariah and Elizabeth are living. They are described in glowing terms, apart from one thing. They are described as righteous in the sight of God. And they are both from priestly families. They have all the right credentials that we would expect, bar one thing. Maybe this is the point to mention the quotation I found for today's service. And that quotation is, stories rarely begin at the beginning, but every storyteller has to begin somewhere. I used that because it seemed very appropriate to this story of the angel speaking to Zechariah, and as we then unfold into the story of the angel going to Mary and so on. I left out the second part because it didn't seem appropriate. And of course, that's where I think I've got something, you know, that can't be right. Sometimes God has something to say. The second part of that quotation goes on to talk about a story that begins with shame. Now, the quotation, that quotation from Steve Luxenberg, has nothing to do with the Bible or the Christmas story. However, the study booklet, and if you were listening to Kath reading, Elizabeth clearly feels that her story is a story of shame. The couple are described as having real status. They're both from priestly families. They are described as having particularly godly lives. But not having children is a problem. Having no children is understood at that time as some kind of judgment from God. It's not some kind of accident. There is something in that couple that must be wrong as far as society is concerned. Now, we would not think that way in our society, but that society clearly would have believed that this was the judgment of God. Elizabeth clearly understands that this is a judgment upon her. Zechariah has clearly prayed long and hard. But the time has passed, and the time is gone, and now it's too late. With that kind of context, Zechariah is part of the priesthood. That is not taken away. They may have a bit of doubt about him. There must be something wrong. And I'm guessing they probably blamed Elizabeth. They must have been surprised when this man was chosen to burn incense in the holiest place in the temple, representing God's people before the throne of God. This is a rare honor. A priest might only be chosen once in a lifetime. And that choosing by lot is not a lottery. It's not like buying a raffle ticket. That was seen as God's choice because there was no such thing as chance. God has chosen this man to offer the prayers of the people in the holiest place in the temple. And of course, Zechariah may well be surprised that God has chosen him, but he's even more surprised to find an angel standing at the side of the altar. The angel says to Zechariah, "Your prayers have been answered. God has heard you. You're going to have a child, and not only are you going to have a child, it's not just a case of a blessing on you and your wife. This is a blessing on my whole people and on the world. This is going to be a great prophet of God. This is the fulfillment of God's promise." There's something very human about this story. Zechariah, for all his faith in God, cannot believe what he's just been told. His reply to the angel's words are, "This is a physical impossibility." It's what we might call, in some bits of Scotland, a moment of going, "Aye, right. There's no chance." If anyone had asked Zechariah, could God perform such a miracle? Absolutely. He would have had no doubt. The problem is that God is asking Zechariah to believe that he and his wife are the ones through this through whom this miracle will come to be. The longed-for child will not be the Messiah, but he is to fulfill the role of the prophet who will prepare the way for God's great act of salvation. In many ways, Zechariah is part of a long line of people called by God whose first reaction is to say, it can't be me, and in some cases, it's not going to be me. But God has a different plan. In some ways, this is the story that says, we're not ready for Christmas. As we prepare for Christmas, it's very easy to lose sight of Jesus in all the busyness of the next few weeks. As we journey through Advent, it is probably even harder to keep in mind that Advent is not just about looking back, it's also about looking forward, because we also have the promise of the return of Jesus. And Advent is meant to be us preparing ourselves to meet with Jesus in all his glory. There is no doubt that people were longing and looking for God to act when Jesus was born. What we find again and again is that God does not do things as we expect, nor does he choose the people we might expect him to choose. But there is encouragement in this passage. Zechariah, for all his doubts and struck dumb, does not alter God's plan. God's plans are not hindered by Zechariah's doubts, nor by our doubts. Our lack of faith does not hinder God's plans. God's plan will come to be, and if God has chosen us for a particular role, then that role will be fulfilled. Sometimes we worry that we're not the right people to be here at this time, because these are difficult times in so many different ways. But God has chosen us. Our choice is to choose for God. Advent is a time to praise God for what he has done, the fulfillment of so many of those promises that were hundreds of years old came to be as Jesus was born into our world. And in that knowledge of promise fulfilled, in all that we know about God, are we ready to look forward to what God will do? Whether it be today, or tomorrow, or in centuries' time. These are very uncertain times. But so was the world that Jesus was born into. We have uncertainty within church. We have uncertainty within the nation. We most certainly have uncertainty in our world of today. And I suspect that a fair bit of that will appear in Alistair's prayer in a wee while. We live in a very uncertain world, but we have the absolute certainty of God's promise. Are we ready to look forward to what God will do? And maybe more than that, are we ready if God says, it's you for this role? Amen. Hymn number 472. Come, thou long expected Jesus.
Come, thou long expected Jesus.
now Alistair is going to lead us in our prayers for others.
So let us pray once more. Almighty God, we give you thanks because in Jesus coming as man, the day of our deliverance has dawned. And through him you will make all things new as he comes in power and triumph to judge the world. Lord, we thank you for your care for the poor. And on this World AIDS Day, we remember the 36.7 million people living with HIV today, and the many others who are affected by and vulnerable to this 40-year-old epidemic. Please bless services that provide testing, education, care and support, and also prevention strategies to achieve universal health coverage. We continue to pray about the ongoing crisis in the Middle East, including the revived civil war in Syria. And we pray that the ceasefire between Israel and Hezbollah will hold and be respected by both sides. May a lasting peace be forthcoming, not an absence of fighting, but shalom. We pray for those folks down in England and Wales affected by the devastating flooding this week. May they receive the necessary help in the clean-up operations, swift insurance payouts, and government assistance towards flood prevention. We pray for those in authority. Lord Jesus, we ask you to provide wise and godly counsel to our Prime Minister, Sir Keir Starmer. Create in him a teachable spirit, a soft heart, and ears which are attentive to sound counsel. By your grace, would you guide his heart and mind to glorify you as he serves our country. We pray for his government and the leaders of the opposition parties, for the First Ministers and governments and assemblies at Holyrood, Cardiff and Stormont. We pray that you will bless all our national and local leaders with wisdom and integrity to restrain evil and promote what is good. Father, bless the worldwide family of the Church. May we accept one another as brothers and sisters, finding strength and joy in our life together. May we be a family open to all the families of mankind, that in the Church they may overcome all the hostilities and prejudices that might otherwise drive them apart. Heavenly Father, as we begin this Advent season, we thank you that you sent your Son to become flesh and live among us at exactly the right time. We pray that you will inspire us in this precious season with the wonder of his birth, his life, his sacrificial death for our sins, and his glorious resurrection. Please enable those who experience daily persecution for their faith in you. Draw strength as they reflect on you. We ask you to help us all to understand more fully the enormity of your magnificent gift, the Lord Jesus Christ. God of mercy, in light of Westminster's decision on assisted suicide, please comfort those who are undergoing suffering because of serious illness and frailty. Grant compassion and strength to those who care for them. We give thanks for the hospice movement and ask you, Lord, to provide necessary finances, staff and volunteers to the hundreds of UK hospices that offer individual holistic care for people approaching the end of life within a peaceful, compassionate atmosphere. God of mercy, thank you for advances in medicine that mean the suffering of people who have a painful, life-limiting condition can now be greatly alleviated. Comfort them and their families through the saving grace of Christ. And remind each of us that each and every person is made in your image. So hear us now in the silence as we bring to you our own personal prayers for those we know who are in need of your love and care at this time. So Father, please hear our prayers in Jesus' name. Amen.
Tell out, my soul, the greatness of the Lord. Hymn 286. Of the Lord. Send us, Lord, to be your light and your witness in the world. Fill us with the light of Christmas as we travel through Advent. And now, may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always.